From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. I'm Boston Christopher. Gunath Chish, Hawa, Toyaksak Nusum, Salamat for joining the conversation. On today's show, a preview of Honky Tonk Night this Friday at the Red Dog Saloon with live music in studio. Juno Ghostlight Theater's Bat Boy the Musical runs through this weekend. We'll chat with some of the cast. Juno Community Foundation shares about upcoming scholarship applications and more. And Juno Audubon is hosting Flyaways, the untold story of migratory shorebirds, tonight at the Gold Town. Those conversations coming up on this hour of Juno Afternoon.
Hanson Gress, Ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha anikak, gunish cheese.
My name is Natasha Boozer. I am the producer of the show Culprit Conversations that airs on Thursdays on KTOO. Growing up in Juneau in the 80s and 90s, there weren't a lot of Black families there, and there wasn't a lot of presentation for Black culture there. I was very excited to listen to the radio, to KTO, because it was my only outlet. But I wish there had been a show like ours to make me feel more included and know that I wasn't alone. So when I produce this show, I'm always reminded of the possibility of young Black girls in Alaska right now who have the opportunity to hear someone like our host, Christine Michelle, and hear the stories that we're able to tell and know that they are not alone and that they are represented and supported in the way that I wish I could have been. When you sign up as a member of KTOO, you make this kind of content possible. You can give online at k2oo.org.
Yeah. All right. That's awesome. Have a seat over here. You are listening to Juno Afternoon, community supported on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Those were the sweet sounds of Daniel and Kennedy, and they are part of the upcoming Honky Tonk Night at the Red Dog Saloon this Friday night, March 15th. It's billed as rowdy country music, but of course, there's also going to be some sweet sounds like we just heard as well. You're going to learn the two-step with Joey Bosworth. Then you're going to put those skills to work with two country bands live and in person at the Red Dog Saloon. Daniel, Kennedy, Gunath Chish, for being here today. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you for having us.
How are you, Kennedy?
Doing great. Thank you.
Awesome. You guys sounded really, really nice. So we're going to learn the two-step.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joey's got a tall order, but yeah, if you want to learn your dancing up before Folkfest, I think this will be a great way to come out, bring a friend, bring a partner, or come looking for one and yeah, get a dance lesson. And then I think you get two outrageous opportunities to dance with Meriden and the Prime Cuts and with our band, the Getting Strangers.
Oh, that's awesome. So the doors are going to open at 7 p.m. and Joey will teach the two-step dance lesson during that time. And then around 8 o'clock, the music will start with the two bands.
Yeah? That's right.
Okay. And I heard there's now these bands make up, it's a lot of people, right?
There's an outrageous number of people in these two bands. It's fantastic. Don't
especially
ask,
considering the small stage at Red Dog.
Well, it's going to be a nice rowdy bar on Friday night,
absolutely,
right? And I mean, country music is always so good. What was that tune you just played for us there?
So the tune that we opened with is one of the tunes I think that really inspired the band for me. Is I've been a singer-songwriter before, but I was listening to some Waylon Jennings tunes and thought, man, I want to be in this band. And I think living in Juneau, the lesson that I've got is that music is for dancing. Music's for the dancers. And yeah, so you want to put together a band that folks can dance to. And that song by Waylon Jennings, made famous by Waylon Jennings, actually a cover of his, Good Time Charlie's Got the Blues, to me just sounds like it's perfectly about Juno. Being young in Juno and seeing people leave town and Waylon's always singing about how the rain's getting them down.
That doesn't happen here.
And I thought, well, that's just Juno.
Yeah.
And so that really inspired Josh and I to get together and to start putting together our favorite tunes that we wanted to sing.
I see. Okay. So who makes up Meriden and the Prime Cuts? And also, where did that band name come from?
I offer no guarantees or ability to speak to the band name origin of Meriden and the Prime Cuts. No guarantees are offered here. Yeah, I hope they're listening.
Okay. Okay.
But in that band, you've got, you know, really front and center is Meriden's voice.
Okay.
She's the lead singer in that group. And I really love that that band is centered around her voice. Caleb Wiley playing the Telecaster, an absolute Juno shredder. Folks know him as a guitar player in Colette's band.
Okay. The High Cost of Living.
Colette and the High Cost of Living.
Yeah.
And Mr. Ben Higdon playing pedal steel in that band. A classic country sound. Bob Banghart on fiddle and Jason on drums and singing harmony.
Oh, wow.
Now, that band is much more, right in the pocket of your classic honky-tonk 50s and 60s country.
Okay.
And a little bit more, I think of a nice intro, nice for dancing, partner dancing. And then, they're savage musicians, so I'm a little nervous to play after them.
Yeah, and then so the Getting Strangers, that's sort of a newer group. And so, Kennedy, how did you get involved with them?
That's a great question. I moved down here to Juneau from South Central in last August and started playing open mics. I played a bit up there, but Dan and I met at an open mic that I was playing. I can't remember if it was an original or a cover of some country tune. Came up after, was like, hey, do you want to be in a country band?
That's kind of how it happens in Juneau, doesn't
it? Yeah, exactly.
It happened to me that way in Nashville, too.
Yeah.
You know, I spent some time in Nashville and someone came up to me in an open mic and said, like, let's work. You know,
yeah.
They heard what they wanted to hear. And when I heard Kennedy sing, I was like, yep, that's great. Let's do it.
Right. Okay. So Now who's in the Getting Strangers?
That's Dan and I and Josh Fortenberry and Ben, who also plays with the Prime Cuts. He's also playing pedal steel with the Getting Strangers, and then Clay Good on drums, and Seth Hopper on bass.
Nice.
And we'll be joined as well by Andrew Heist, no stranger to the Juno music scene.
Oh, is he going to be playing a little mandolin?
A little fiddle with us.
A little fiddle. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. I guess, switching it over to country, not so the folk is the mandolin, I guess, and then the fiddle. I guess you can use them for anything, right, really. But so how did this particular concert come about? Whose idea was it to like make this happen on Friday, March 15th?
You know, we did our first real gig just in January and had an absolute blast playing at the Crystal Saloon. And we're looking forward to Folk Fest. And we wanted, I don't know, I'm just feeling the fire to get out and play and try and have more fun. And we've wanted to play a gig, I think, from the beginning with Meriden to put those two country bands together. And so we were looking for a venue big enough to hold a bunch of people dancing.
Awesome. Well, there's nothing like the music to sell us on getting to this concert. So if you would be willing to give us one more tune, that would be awesome. And while you get back up to the microphone, I'll give all the details again for this concert. Is there anything else that you want to say before we sing again?
No, I'm happy for you to read the information for folks.
Yeah, I'm absolutely going to do that. So it is this Friday, March 15th. It's Meriden and the Prime Cuts. They'll play some classic country, and then the Getting Strangers play rowdy electric outlaw country. The doors are opening at 7 o'clock at the Red Dog Saloon. Joey Bosworth will teach a two-step dance lesson to get people moving, and the music starts at 8 o'clock, and it will apparently go late. So you have... the Red Dog is at 278 South Franklin Street. It's $10 at the door. I don't know if there's a better deal in Juneau for that. So that's kind of awesome. It's going to be a pretty good night. It's the Honky Tonk Night at the Red Dog Saloon. And here are two members of the Getting Strangers with a tune to take us out. Thank you.
watch me now to see what I've got to say. The water's rising and I've got to go before the end of the day. And oh, Jolene, I've got to go. She's waiting to see. She's the one I want to know before the water takes me. Pascagoula, I'm shaking so bad, the water's up to the door. Climb up the walls of the riverbank, they say it's gonna rain more. And oh, Biloxi, we loved you so, but let you drown just the same. Old St. Johnny had told it so well, but I couldn't sing the refrain. Go. She's waiting to see. She's the one I want to know before the water takes me. I read the book and I walked the road, and I've been washed in the rain. Sat by the river and waited there until the floodwaters came. And oh, Jolene, I've gotta go. She's waiting to see. She's the one I wanna know until the water takes me. Till the water takes me. Till the water takes me.
Awesome. Thank you, Daniel and Kennedy. That's great. Up next, Bat Boy the Musical is happening through this weekend from Juno Ghostlight Theater. We'll chat with the cast next here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
When you sign up as a sustaining member of KTOO, your contribution automatically renews each year. Of course, you always are in control of your giving, but at any point you can increase, decrease, or stop. But the nice thing is that as a sustainer, you don't have to remember each year to renew. This creates a great foundation of support for KTOO and keeps you free of mail reminders and missed months of giving. And you still get your thank you gift. If this sounds like the right option for you, sign on as a sustaining member at ktoo.org.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Bat Boy the Musical is the story of a bat child found in a cave and his adventures as he meets the residents of the town that resides nearby. Its origins stem from the tabloid Weekly World News and first appeared on the front page in 1992. A musical based on this character was developed several years later and has played off-Broadway, London's West End, and is now playing in Juno, produced by a local theater company, Juno Ghostlight Theater. It runs through this weekend, and you can find out more at junoghostlight.com. Here in the studio to share more about this intriguing project are the Bat Boy himself, Joshua Midget, Alexandra Wagner, and Hedy Laverne, who is the artistic director or one of the main co-founders of Juno Ghostlight Theater. What is your title, Hedy?
For the theater, I'm the president of the theater. The founders were back in 1961, though, so don't give me that credit. I wasn't here. for the show, I'm the director of the show.
Okay, and the director of the show. Okay, well, gun chish, haye adi for you all being here. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio. Wasa iati, how's it going?
Good.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. Now, I know that you have had one weekend of performances already. How did it go?
I think it went well. They were on stage, so they may be humble about it, but I felt like they did a very beautiful job. It was really fun to see the audiences come out and kind of experience this really unique show, if I can call it that.
I think that's an accurate way to describe it.
There's a lot of gasping that takes place near the end. Yeah, a lot of twists. Yes.
Yeah, a lot of twists and turns. That's so fun.
Yeah.
And I want to mention this before we forget. You're doing a cool like event tonight, right?
Yes.
To tell us a little bit about what's happening tonight.
Yeah, so we are partnering with Devil's Club, and they are doing their Wednesday pizza nights, and we are jumping on board with that, and they're doing a Bat Boy-themed pizza night, different pizzas named after things in the show and a unique menu created. We've got like the Comfort and Joy pizza, which is like a basic cheese. And then we've got the Cave Monster, which is a vegan one, and all kinds of fun little pizzas.
Oh my goodness. That sounds so fun. And of course, you'll be able to get your tickets to the show there tonight as well. And that all starts at 5 o'clock. So not too soon after this.
Yeah,
we're just going to come here and then we're going to go get some pizza right after.
You're making me want some pizza.
Yeah, come on. Doing. That's the idea.
Yeah. And okay, so tell us a little bit about the plot of this. We know it's based on the tabloids from the early 90s, but tell us what happens in the show. Joshua, you're the Bat Boy. What happens to you?
What happens to me? Wow, there's a drawer here. Well, I'm discovered in the depths of a cave by a trio of siblings. They try to feed me Fritos. This is the highlight of the show, very important plot point. They try to feed me Fritos and then discover that that's not what I want to eat. I instead want to eat the blood of the people. And then I am brought to a family, that a doctor, a veterinarian. They bring me there to try to discover how to tame me or what to do with me. And I am instead reared by Wendy Burns, who plays Mrs. Parker in the play. And she teaches me to be a civilized and charming, if I say so myself.
I'm just individual. Really glad you don't have to eat Fritos at the beginning of the show, because for an actor, it sounds like Fritos would be a bad idea, especially in a musical.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's the whole response. That's what I'm saying to myself and the character. I'm like, how dare you?
How dare you?
Instead, I will devour your blood.
Yeah, I want the blood.
Oh my goodness.
Because that's nice coagulated stuff that'll make your
throat.
Yeah, good for your voice.
Singing voice, yeah.
And Alexander, who do you play in the show?
I play the veterinarian and his wife's daughter, Shelley Parker. So I, at first, am not on board with Bat Boy being a member of the family at all. I treat him more like a science project and then eventually a pet and then eventually a friend.
And then eventually.
There's a little love story there.
And then eventually you have to come see the show to find out.
I see. So you start out as that classic sort of antagonistic, like, I don't think this is a good idea.
Not to be selfish, but I do feel like my character has the best character arc in the show. She really, you see her, she's like 17 years old. She's in high school. And she grows up a lot throughout the course of the show and really finds out who she is as a person rather than how she is perceived or what she's pressured into being by the town that she's grown up in, which has been really enjoyable to
kind play, of
do
right?
that journey every day. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So tell us who else is in the cast, Eddie.
Oh, we have a nice ensemble cast. We have Wendy Burns was mentioned. Stephen Ahrens plays Dr. Parker, the veterinarian. We have Rachel Wood. Oh, gosh, I'm going to forget everybody. Dan Wayne, Pat Minnick, mm-hmm. Kristen Rankin, Ty Amoka, Dane Moorhead. Oh, no. Who have I forgotten?
Hannah Grace.
Oh,
Gerber?
Yes. Yeah, sorry. So, okay. Yeah, we have. I think that's everybody. I'm so sorry. I should have written everybody down because they're all wonderful.
It's a big ensemble.
It is.
It's a big ensemble.
It's a wonderful cast.
And how are you doing the music part of it?
Oh, we also have a wonderful band that's accompanying us, led by Grace Lee, who is our music director.
Oh, awesome.
And we have a 4-piece band that's rocking it. It's a rock, kind of a rock opera-esque.
Yeah.
So it's a piano, bass, guitar, and drummer.
Yeah, I think we were getting that. You can get the sense of it from the song we played coming into the interview there. That's like the title track, right?
That is
Hold Me, Bat Boy.
Oh, yeah.
and there's some rocking tunes, and there's also probably some more slower tunes.
It spans some genres.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's some like Beastie Boy type rap in there.
Nice.
Some country.
And
near the end, I feel like we're watching Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It gets very rock opera near the end.
I was listening listening to Sweeney Todd on my drive over here from work. And I think that the stories parallel a lot, which is why I was doing that. But also, I think that even though this is kind of a campy musical, so it does poke fun at itself at times, the substance behind it, and as we've gone through learning the music, it's very meaty. And there's a lot of layers built into the music composition and the plot itself that...
Yeah, because it's based on this tabloid thing. So we think of people who maybe remember that.
Yeah.
You remember it as sort of this silly thing. But I remember Mike Nichols, the famous stage director, saying one time that, you know, he was talking about Spamalot, I think, a great musical, which also is sort of campy and over the top. But he's like, it still has to have like a message. It has to have a core. It has to have something. It has to have a spine, basically, that's going to allow us as an audience to go on some kind of journey.
That's what I think is really spectacular about this show, is that everyone within it, the characters within it, are genuine and are honestly experiencing this moment. And it is messy and it is sloppy and it is only campy because the audience is sitting and seeing these people take it so seriously.
Right.
And they're just touching elements of these people learning really hard truths about themselves through this really campy vehicle of this story from a tabloid.
Well, isn't that always it makes the best, you know, comedy is when things are played as straight as possible. It's real people in sort of messed up situations, or in this case, a bat boy who also has a heart, I'm sure. And
he does very much so.
And so that just sounds like a blast. And so there's only a few more chances to see the show. It's running this weekend, and you have three shows this weekend. Hedy, you want to tell us about when those are?
Yes. So this coming Friday, March 15th, we have a show at 7:30. And then on Saturday, another show at 7:30, March 16th. And then March 17th, we have a pay-as-you-can matinee starting at 3 o'clock. And all of these are out at Thunder Mountain Auditorium.
Is this your first time doing a show out in Thunder Mountain?
This is actually our second. We did Puffs out there last spring, and honestly, Bo Anderson is the person to work with in town if you want to have a solid, like, just environment and a positive place. So we had such a wonderful time working with him that we wanted to go back. So.
Bo Anderson is the facilities manager and runs the theaters for both JDHS, Yada Cafe, as well as Thunder Mountain.
Yes.
And yeah, his reputation precedes him.
Yes, he's a lovely, wonderful person to work with. So that was the main reason I chose that space. And I would love to work with Bo as much as I can. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So what was the process like? What was the process of creating this musical? Like, how long did you rehearse? And how, you know, what was it like from the first time? Were you all sort of laughing at yourselves and then kind of got more serious as it went along? Or how did that work?
Yeah, we started rehearsals in the middle of January. And being as it is a community project, we sort of had people come and go as needed through the process, and really started ramping up here in the last few weeks as we moved over to the Thunder Mountain Auditorium. And I love the rehearsal process. That's when you get to play, and that's when you get to, and for me, in this character, having the challenge of going from something that's almost non-human and evolving to a human character, having people in the room that I felt comfortable around, just like bouncing around and crawling over and getting beat up by. It was a fun process of getting to explore, give each scene and having each scene given its time to find the most comfortable route with it, and then bringing it to Thunder Mountain Auditorium where we could cohesively put it all together and find ourselves in that space.
Because I'm sure it's a physical role. You're playing a bat in essence, right? Mm-hmm. So like finding that in rehearsal and, like you said, having sort of a safe environment, a safe space to explore that. And then everybody else, Alexander, you're all playing humans, I'm assuming, that are then sort of looking at this and trying to figure out how this fits into your worldview.
Yeah, it's been a really amazing process. This is my first show in Juneau because I just moved here in April, but everybody has been so welcoming and made it, especially Hedy, has been just so welcoming and made it such an open space where everybody has felt comfortable. You know, part of theater is looking stupid, and we all have been able to look very stupid in front of each other and figure out how to make that stupid into very intentional stupid.
Right. It makes it fun, right?
Yeah.
Where did you come from?
I moved here from Colorado.
Colorado?
Yeah.
That's a big move.
Yeah. I just, I've always wanted to live in Alaska, and I applied to like a million jobs and picked Juno randomly. And Wendy Burns, who Joshua mentioned earlier, actually, I met her like the first week I lived here. We exchanged numbers at a bar, and she texted me months later and was like, you should audition for a musical.
I would love to tell the story real quick of when Alex came in to audition for this show, because it was just such a beautiful moment of this person we'd never worked with before came in, very prepared, beautiful preparation went into your role. And she sang for us and walked out. And I remember that me and our music director and our stage manager all threw our arms in the air and went, thank goodness, because we found our Shelley. It was one of those wonderful moments that you don't get very often in theater, but it was a wonderful moment for us.
So sweet.
I'm just really grateful that you clarified that you moved here last April instead of April.
This April
future.
To come.
Yeah.
April Fools. Well, it's Bat Boy the Musical. There's a cool pizza-themed night tonight at Devil's Club if you want to go and meet the cast and hang out and have some Bat Boy-themed pizza. You can also get tickets to the show there as well. It's this weekend. It's Friday, Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday with a pay-as-you-can. It's all out at Thunder Mountain Auditorium. And for more information, you can go to JunoGhostlight.com, which is where you can find out information and, of course, get your tickets for the show. Gwyneth Cheese for y'all coming in and telling us a little bit about Bat Boy.
Thank you so much for
Thank
having
you,
us.
Boss.
Yeah, break a leg.
Thank you.
Okay, updates. Juno Community Foundations has updates on various different scholarships and grants that are coming down the line. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. KTOO turned 50 a few weeks back, and we are celebrating throughout the spring, and we want to hear from you, the community that has supported locally owned airwaves in Juno for 5 decades. We'd love to hear your reflections on how KTOO has impacted you over the years. We're looking for audio submissions that are 1 to 3 minutes in length that share your thoughts, memories, driveway moments, personal stories about the station that we can use on the air. To submit, record your message on your smartphone and email it to junoafternoon@ktoo.org. Instructions for getting good audio can be found on our homepage at ktoo.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Gwyneth Cheesh, Hawa, Salama, thank you. Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Juno Community Foundation has a mission to promote giving and to support the needs of Juno in a many and wide variety of ways. They help organizations manage their funds, but they also offer a variety of opportunities for folks to receive grants as well. And to talk about all of this and more are Amy Skilbred, Executive Director of the Juno Community Foundation, and Monica Doherty, who I believe might be new to the Juno Community Foundation. Is that true, Monica?
I am new. I am the new project manager.
Project manager. What does a project manager at the Juno Community Foundation do? Or are you still figuring it out?
A little still figuring it out. But for the most part, I am in charge of grants going out and the scholarships that are currently happening right now.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Gwyneth Cheesh Haye Adi for you both being here today. It's a pleasure to have you. I always like to say, Wasi Yiti, how's it going, Amy?
It's going well. It's really been busy. And we're in the midst of not only the scholarships that are just opening up, but also giving out about $2.5 million to social service organizations in Juno.
And is that through the HOPE?
That's the HOPE and the CBJ Social Service Funds.
Okay.
So the two of them together
And you're right in the middle of that process, or have people already started to find out maybe that they
No. So tomorrow we have our professional advisory committee meeting, okay. And we have a lot of folks who have, as their main work has been in some of these areas, but not in Juneau. And we also have a lot of funders from around the state involved in it so that we can educate other folks on what's happening in Juneau.
Oh, that's awesome. I know the HOPE and the CBJ grants are so vital to all the organizations that are in Juneau. And I know many organizations count on that support. And it's just a wonderful thing that you all do to be able to facilitate those awards and have those funds reach out into the community and do the good work that it does, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful that we have people who donate and very generous community that we're able to put it all together into one funding process. So there's one applicant for organizations, which makes it easier than if you're trying to do three or four separate applications. And we'll be back to talk about how that turns out.
Yeah, absolutely. And today I know we're talking about sort of scholarship, right? Grants, mm-hmm. The period is opening or has opened for these. Tell us a little bit about that, Monica.
Yeah, the scholarships are open. We have five open right now. One is specifically for the arts. It's out of Skagway. That one's called the Margaret Franz Brady Scholarship. And we have four others that are specifically for high school students to pursue furthering their education, either college, vocational, apprenticeships, and trainings.
Oh, so it's not just for... It doesn't have to be just for college. Like you say, there's vocational scholarships as mm-hmm. well, or some kind of technical training.
Yeah, it's up to the applicant. So okay. It doesn't necessarily have to be for a university. Yeah.
I think that's great because I think a lot of people think, oh, I can only get scholarships if I'm going to college or something.
Exactly.
But maybe they don't want to go to college, or maybe they've got some kind of vocational school in their future instead. And so they maybe want to do that. So what's the process for someone who is listening who might want to partake in these scholarships, or how do they find out more?
Sure. So you can find our scholarships on our website at junocf.org. Also, the counselors' office or teachers will also have access to these scholarships.
People can give us a call if they have trouble finding any of them. One is specifically for kids from Skagway High School. And then we've got several for Juneau High School kids. And some are for folks who have graduated already. And because often, you know, sometimes there are kids who are students who are thinking, well, I'll take a year off or two and see what I want to do before I go on to college. I might have to work or do something like that. And so for some of these scholarships, you can come back and apply for them. So.
I see. Okay. And do these have, do each of them have different deadlines, or is there like one deadline for all of these different scholarships?
Only the Margaret Franz Brady, the art scholarship, will be due on April 15th. The other four will be on April 22nd.
Okay. So coming mid-April, Basically, third week of April. Mm-hmm. So now is the time to get online and find out what the specific requirements for the different ones? Or is that what they find out online? They can research that?
They can research that. And there are some different requirements, more or less what school you might be going to, again, for the arts, it's for that arts one, it is for any age. So if there's kids who want to go to an arts camp, you can apply to that scholarship. There's $10,000 that are given out for the Margaret Franz Brady, and it'll be divvied up between amongst the applicants that do apply.
Oh,
and we've had some kids who were in middle school before mm-hmm. Receive some of that scholarship funding.
They
spread it out among the applicants, a lot of the funds.
Well, really good, because I think like some people think, oh, I'm a senior, that's when I apply for all this stuff. But if parents are listening, and they, like you just said, maybe middle school students who might want to go to mm-hmm. I don't know, Sitka Fine Arts Camp or something, right? Would the scholarship cover something like that?
It could. It just depends. You know, it depends how many scholarship applications we receive and the funding, dividing it up, and, you know, how the selection committee decides to figure out who gets what.
It's really, there's obviously, yeah, there's people who review all the applications and, right. and figure all that stuff out. And that's really good. So, and is there other upcoming grant opportunities that we wanted to chat about too? What else is coming up?
Well, let me just give you a couple more on this, just because we really encourage applications. We have one, the Alma Harris Scholarship, and that gives out $10,000. And so that's not an insignificant amount of money.
Nope. So, that goes to one person?
Sorry, I don't think you can apply.
One person.
One person. Yeah. Okay.
In any high school, yeah, in Juneau.
Right. And then we have another one, the Kirk Scholarship Fund, and that gives out about $1,700 each year for 4 years. So it adds up. And that's helpful because oftentimes it's that first year and you've got money, you've got scholarships, but then there's maybe a second, third, and fourth year, or even a second year, you know, multi-year, and there isn't scholarships.
Yes, I have a daughter going through that right now. Yeah. It's like the last year or the last quarter, and it's like, how do we get that? How do we get that paid for?
Yeah.
Because it falls into the next year, that kind of thing. So it's kind of interesting that way. That sounds like a lot.
Yeah, and the other part is we have a couple of scholarships that are really aimed towards students who might have struggled a bit and are trying to, you know, have a path now and are looking at what they would like to do. And we're looking for those kids. So
and is that for somebody who may be like in their mid-20s who's looking to go back to school? Or is it somebody who's sort of lost the path of schooling during their high school years? Or how does that work?
So I think like our Bob and Darlene Stute Family Scholarship or the Simon and Anna Kirk Memorial Scholarship, those two specifically are aimed for Yakuske Alternative School students or Chorus Program. If you've, struggled in school, found challenges, maybe you don't have all A's, we really encourage, don't exclude yourself from these scholarships. We really encourage kids who are dedicated to continuing their education to apply to these scholarships, because they aren't just for university. They are maybe for vocational or trainings. So I guess that's what we mean. But the Stute Family Scholarship, that one, if you have graduated in 2022 or 2023, you can apply to that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great, because I think a lot of people have the story in their head that, I'm only going to get grants or scholarships if I'm a straight A student, or if I have above a 3.5 or whatever the number is these days. And I'm set to, and I've done my community service and I've done all these things. But some of these grants are great for people who are maybe trying to find their way back into it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's definitely what we want kids to be encouraged to apply who aren't the straight A student as well. So,
Yeah, that's a great thing. And you can find out all this information, of course, at junocf.org. And if you're a parent or a student right now, it's the best place to go to figure out what scholarships might be in your future, potentially. And of course, the deadline for the arts scholarship was the 15th, and the rest of them are on the 22nd. So now is the time to hop online and figure out what's going on with your your schooling. Yep.
And that's of April.
I guess. What is it today? Oh, today's 13th. I could. Yeah, for some reason, I'm already at the end of March, like in my brain. So yeah, today's only the 13th. Yes, yeah, so those are of April deadlines for sure. Okay, so anything else that's happening?
Yeah, there's a couple of other scholarships. So people should go to junocf.org, and you can see grants and scholarships right up on the top. Click on that, and you can see what else is available and when deadlines are. So coming up is going to be the Douglas Dornan Foundation grants. And that's going to be, I think they usually have a June 1st deadline for those grants. So that actually seems like a long way away in some ways, but it's right around the corner.
It's going to come so fast.
Right. So that's one that those go to nonprofit organizations throughout Southeast Alaska. And have a lot of their funding goes towards youth and activities and nonprofits that work with youth, but by no means all of it. So that's one that nonprofits should be taking a look at throughout Southeast. And then every year we have an individual artist award program that provides funds for artists in Juneau and up and coming artists. And so we've had, I think we've had 3 years that that one's been given out, and there'll probably be, there will be awards again this year. We give out, I think, about $20,000, $25,000 a year on that one.
Wow.
So, yeah.
You all are busy.
We're busy.
Because I know it's a tight, small staff, right? It's like a staff of three or so, yeah?
Yeah.
And it keeps you pretty busy because not only are you giving out grants, you're also managing funds for all the different, you know, various organizations in town, their legacy fund. Like you manage KTO's legacy fund, full disclosure, right. I guess I have to say, right. I don't know. But you just manage for a lot of nonprofits in town. That's the place where a lot of the funds are managed. And if people are interested in finding more about that, where you can give to those funds, you can also find that information out on the website.
Absolutely. And yeah. We do have several agency funds, including one for KTOO, that's for sure. And it's a great way for organizations to be able to, you know, they have enough money to have some reserves, but then be able to build an endowment or a stewardship fund in order to have a little bit more for the long term so that you can have a steady stream of funding coming in the future. And I think that's what organizations are setting up for. How do we grow that? How do we take advantage of that through bequests and through planned gifts? And so I know people are working on that at a lot of organizations, including here. And it's it's a good thing to do. And Juneau is such a giving community that people do give through lifetime gifts and through wills or trusts or as designated beneficiaries on IRAs and other retirement funds, things like that.
Well, Juneau is, I think, probably the most generous community I've ever lived in. And the fact that we have a organization like Juneau Community Foundation to be able to help us all manage that and figure out how to do that giving is fantastic. Monica, congratulations on your new position at the organization. Amy, it's always a pleasure to see you. And thank you so much for all the hard work that you do.
Great to be here and really appreciate it. And just want to put in a little plug because we like to support nonprofits throughout Juneau, and we know that KTOO is currently raising funds. So
yes, absolutely. We are in the middle of our spring membership
KTOO
drive. Give to KTOO. It's easy. You just go to the KTOO.org website. You hit the orange donate button. Thanks for that plug, Amy. Gunna the Cheese for being here today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Up next, tonight, the Juneau Audubon Society is hosting a cool film on migratory shorebirds. We'll find out more next on Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. Here's a little preview of the trailer from that movie.
As summer ends, shorebirds rise from the mud and take to the skies. They navigate thousands of miles along ancient flyways, lines of ancestral memory that wrap around the globe.
Our quest is to follow the migrations of these birds.
They're moving really quickly and they're moving very far.
Where do they touch down?
I'm hoping to find some of the stopover sites.
The birds were roosting here this morning. We see a lot of tracks of red knots.
They stay here for like 2-3 weeks to refuel
in order to make it to northern Siberia.
Thousands of kilometers of seawall have replaced natural coastline along much of eastern China.
The rates at which things are changing are much faster than they've ever been.
These birds are shrinking in size, and we think that Arctic warming is playing a big role here.
There's every chance that Eastern Curlew could be extinct within a few decades.
Alarm bells go off.
We have a new problem, and that's the war in Ukraine.
I can't go to where we need to be at this stage in our research.
To help them to survive, you firstly need to understand why they die.
Tracking technology has really helped. It's given us the first pictures on what's happening as birds migrate.
We tracked AAD crossing over the Great Barrier Reef, still flying over some of the highest mountains in Southeast Asia. And she's touched down in Taiwan. Hundreds of people began searching for AAD.
Oh yeah, that's a godwit that we might have seen in Chile.
Crossing borders that we cannot cross.
The sheer number of good people around this flyway arguing passionately for the conservation of these birds.
We can learn from the birds. They tell a story that the world has troubles, and we should actually listen to them.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
We're always amazed at the quantity and caliber of arts and culture offerings in Juno. Do you go to a new theater performance or special art opening? KTOO helps you navigate your options. Juno Afternoon, our local news team, and KRNN and KXLL keep you up on everything going on. KTOO helps you make the most of Juno's cultural life, even on the nights you stay home. Your financial support makes it possible. Contribute at ktoo.org.
You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. Joining me now is Brenda Wright from the Juno Audubon Society.
Good to see you.
Hi, Brenda. How's your spring? It's not quite spring.
It's a little snainy at the moment, you know, snow rain mix.
It's there. It's happening. But anyway, there's a movie happening tonight.
Yes.
We heard the trailer during the break, which is really good. I also wanted to read this review about it. It says, at one level, a simple documentary about the miracle of long-distance bird migration over long-established aerial flyways. The movie transcends the usual wildlife documentary with superb, simple storytelling, astounding cinematography, impeccable pacing and control, and just so narration. That comes from Read, Listen, Watch as a review of that film. And it's called Flyaways, the Untold Story of Migratory Birds. It's at the Gold Town. It's tonight, March 13th at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. And the best thing is, as usual, it's free. So tell us a little bit about how you came to find this movie.
Well, it's making big waves in the bird world. So it's very, very interesting. We were hoping to share it with more folks. And when they do share it, in some places they don't do the whole hour and a half. But I just wanted to mention that a couple of these birds actually come here that are in this movie.
Oh.
So the things like the lesser yellowlegs and the Hudsonian godwit. And when you think about these little birds, you think about New Zealand. Can you remember where New Zealand is? And a couple of them come from there to Alaska.
Wait, what?
Isn't that crazy?
That's a long way.
Yeah. This is an astounding journey.
And did you say, what was that last second one?
The Hudsonian godwit.
What is that?
Well, it's a shorebird. It's actually a giant one. It's almost a foot tall.
Wow. And so all of these birds, are you going to be able to see them in this movie?
Yes. Some of them fly nonstop for 9 days. How can they do that? They're so tiny.
Wait, but do they store up food to be able to fly that way?
Yes, they do. And they have to go with the current, you know, the air currents.
Yeah.
So they might go down the China shore going south, but on the other coming up, they go up on the South American shore coming up, depending on which way the wind blows.
And what's the difference between like a shorebird and some other kind of bird?
Well, because of their name, they usually have long legs and large bills. They eat almost everything along the shore. So that's where their habitat is for them. They eat small, really tiny invertebrates and snails and anything that moves or in the mud flats. And they can eat lots of protein, and that's how they can manage to fly these horrendously long distances.
Wow. I mean, the Juno Audubon Society does so much good work in terms of bringing us these kinds of adventure films, different talks that you do, as well as, you know, the various spring walks. And I wanted to ask you about that as well in terms of, it doesn't feel like it out there yet, but aren't we going to be getting the springtime walk starting up in April sometime?
Yes, we sure will. It'll be mid-April. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because for me, this is a lucky day. The other day when it got up to 40, I heard my first junco sing.
Oh, it's that time. That's a good sign, right?
Yeah. You know, they live here all year, and they're early spring singers. singing songs.
Yeah. I mean, it's been such a rough couple of weeks here, about a month or so, with all the snow that we had and everything. So I guess hearing the Juncos is like, oh, hey, we're almost there.
Yeah, they think it's going to be spring, so maybe it will be spring sometime.
And so the walks that happen, that will be coming up. People yes. can find out about that at the website, which yep. is?
JunoAudubon.org.
Yeah, JunoAudubon.org. And those are usually on a Saturday.
Yes, uh-huh. And we're having a couple Berners Bay cruises, and we have one last public program in April on marmots. And if I can just put a little tiny plug in here, the person doing this wants anybody that sees a marmot before tax day, April 15th, to go to our webpage and please tell him, our Facebook page.
Okay.
And say, I saw a marmot.
And why do we want to do that?
Because he wants to know how early they wake up.
Oh, okay. And so before tax day.
Yeah, before April 15th. If you see any marmot from now until April 15th, please let us know.
And you have an active Facebook page, and that's yes. the best place to do it, is to yeah. just make a comment
can,
yes, on there.
Yep, you can see his name right there and be able to contact him.
That sounds so good. Yeah.
And remember, this movie is tonight and it's free.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. This is it's called Flyaways, The Untold Story of Migratory Shorebirds. And there's even some, as Brenda mentioned, that come to Alaska and maybe from as far away as New Zealand, which is just, that's kind of mind-blowing a mm-hmm. little bit, just to think about that.
Yeah, there's a couple terns that come to Gustavus from Indonesia.
Wow. That's just fascinating.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. And so you're going to hear all about that tonight in this movie called Flyaways, The Untold Story of Migratory Shorebirds. It's at the Gold Town tonight. And it is today. This is Wednesday, March 13th. And if you can't make the first one at 6 o'clock, you can see the second one at 8 o'clock. Or if you like it a lot, you could just stick around, get some more of that lovely Gold Town popcorn and watch it again. It's a beautiful new movie, not to be missed. It's featuring shorebird species that stop by our local wetlands as well as wetlands throughout the globe. Brenda Wright from the Juno Audubon Society, Gunnith Cheese, for being here today and doing all of that wonderful work that you continue to do at the Juno Audubon Society.
Come and join us, please.
Yeah, Gunnith Cheese for that. That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Reminder that this week is KTOO Spring Membership Drive. Your support is vital to the work that we do, and Juno Afternoon is possible because of your membership. Join, renew, or make an additional gift now by visiting ktoo.org and smashing the donate button. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Lisa Purvis. Thanks, and have a glorious Juno evening.